I was going to go to the bathroom, but I decided. We're going to keep it short.
A couple hours.
Okay, you're on.
We're on. Is it the appropriate time, Esther? Oh, by golly, this is must be a first almost. What do you have, Dale? 9:59. How many? All right, we'll give it 45 seconds. We don't want that.
Lonnie, you cut to the chase quicker than I did. I asked him if he got it.
Jerry, do you have anything to add to the agenda?
I don't think so.
What's the date today? August 21st? All right, I think we're close enough. All right. All right, good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Colker meeting the 12th floor of the Capitol today. It's Wednesday, August 21st, approximately 10 a.m. for our regularly scheduled commission meeting. I just have one opening comment. I want to welcome Clint Thomas to the North Dakota Public Service Commission. Clint, go wave out to the crowd. Clint is our newest pipeline safety inspector. So part of the last legislative session, we were able to get the additional position. So Clint is now on board out of the great state of Texas, Oklahoma area. Clint and I bantered right away that he was a Sam Houston fan over the last 2 years when the Bison defeated them, but that did not affect his hiring. So anyway, Clint, thanks for coming. Clint's already been out and about with inspections. You're up in Minot just last week with the Common Ground Alliance. So already it's the impact of having him here has helped out immediately trying to cover all the things we have to do in the summer. So thanks, Clint. That'd be my only comment. Commissioner Christman, do you have any?
Mr. Chairman, I really have no opening comments, except to also welcome Clint on board. I look forward to having you as part of the team, so thanks for being here.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
I don't have any official opening comments, but I will just acknowledge the change of seasons and a little bit of sadness in my heart today as I drop my kids back off at school for the first day and just...
How much sadness?
Facing the fact that summer's over and I now have a sixth grader, so that's a little tough to take, but otherwise, all's well.
I look forward to my daughter going back to college next week. as a caveat to that, where I can go back to being asleep at 10:30 at night instead of being the father who can't get to sleep till his daughter comes home. So, anyway, the pendulum will swing at some time.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to those days. I'll take sixth grade.
All right. With that, we have some items on consent. I would move passage of the consent items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second, and there's further discussion. Sensing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right, thank you, Darrell. Moving to our regular scheduled agenda, item BK1. I move the commission issue a notice of intent to consider additional information not presented at a hearing in the application of Courtenay Wind Farm, LLC, for a certificate of site compatibility to construct a 200.5-megawatt wind farm in Stutsman County, North Dakota, case number PU 13-64.
Second.
Pursuant to North Dakota Century Code, the PSC gives notice that it intends to consider information in its possession that was not presented as evidence at a hearing and has been received by letters from persons and government agencies. The information is docketed in the Commission case files for case number PU 1364 under docket entries 24, 25, 27, 34, and 35. I have copies of the documents. Anyone interested to present information or to cross-examine this information should provide written notice within 10 days of this order. So to break this down, what this really means is we previously had a hearing in Jamestown, the Courtenay Wind Farm. We finished the hearing, and there were several items. I know Commissioner Fedorchak asked for a few, some late-filed exhibits that we're still waiting for on that hearing. But in the meantime, the commission received four different documents, if you will, one from a Kyle Warner representing the North Dakota Aeronautics Commission, one from Mr. Robert Sprague and his wife, James Hastings, and Grant Baumgartner. And basically this motion today, all it says is that we intend to consider this information. I'm not going to draw any conclusions on what this information says other than just Kyle Warner represents the North Dakota Aeronautics Commission, and the others are Mr. Robert Sprague owns a private airfield, 8ND7 is the name of it, and the other two individuals are landowners in that area. So the motion today is just to consider the information. So the way I see this playing out is anyone requesting to cross-examine these people has to have 10 days from today to request that. If not, what we'll do is we'll schedule a work session and we'll more than likely consider this information. So that would be all that I would have. Everything appears to be in order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, same motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Item BK2. I move the commission cancel the hearing previously scheduled for August 21st, 2013, continue the hearing to September 13th, 2013, and issue a notice of rescheduled hearing the application of Elite Inc. for a certificate of site compatibility to construct a proposed 210-megawatt Bison 4 wind project in Mercer, Morton, Oliver counties of North Dakota, case number PU13-127.
Second.
In May of this year, Minnesota Power Operating Division of Elite filed an application for a certificate of site compatibility to authorize construction of a 210-megawatt Bison 4 wind project consisting of up to 70 wind turbines with the approximate cost of $400 million. By this order today, this hearing is rescheduled to begin September 13, 2013, 9 a.m. Central Daylight Time at the Oliver County Courthouse, 11 West Main Center, North Dakota, zip 58530. You know, the long and short of this one is the commission staff sent the notice to the North Dakota Newspaper Association for publishing in the local paper. We received notice back from the North Dakota Newspaper Association earlier this week that somewhere between them in the local paper, there was a glitch. The notice did not get published, so therefore we cannot hold the hearing. I'll be following up with them as to so these kind of things don't happen again. The good news is we're able to quickly reschedule it and get back out there and hopefully keep everything in the timeline. I know everyone is very concerned that we have these hearings in the appropriate time frame, so everything appears to be in order. We just hopefully don't have these kind of hiccups again. So.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Item BK3. I move the commission adopt the consent order in the Public Service Commission's damage prevention enforcement action concerning S.J. Lewis Construction, Inc. and cancel the hearing scheduled for September 9th, 2013, case number PU12-799.
Second.
A little background on this case is the commission previously had a hearing scheduled for September 9th, 2013 to go through a alleged violation of one call by S.J. Lewis. The commission had previously offered a consent order saying that they basically agreed with what had happened. They did not agree with what had happened, so we had scheduled a hearing. However, we did receive a signed consent order from S.J. Lewis basically waiving their rights, saying that they basically agree with the charges. And if you will, the little background, S.J. Lewis is a Minnesota corporation. Reservation Telephone is a North Dakota cooperative. We received a third-party damage complaint in November of last year from Reservation Telephone alleging that while S.J. Lewis was installing a sewer system in the area of Watford City, the company cut TV cable infrastructure as well as some copper piping, resulting in damages for Reservation Telephone of $10,000. So the company previously did not agree with these charges, therefore the hearing was scheduled. At this time, the company has agreed to pay a fine of $1,000 and waive their rights for any further proceedings on this case. So everything is in order. I'm appreciative of the company giving us notice on this ahead of the time for the hearing to give us time to react. I appreciate them going through, but it still does come down to we got to keep the enforcement out there for call before you dig. In this case, they did call before they did their excavation, but they did not do it in the care required. It was similar to the one we had before where they were well below the depth of what they considered normal infrastructure location. It's just a lesson that we've all perhaps been reminded of when Clint and I were in Minot. When were we in Minot, Clint? Was that just this week? It was just this week we were up there. And that came up in the Common Ground Alliance meeting that they're be very concerned about the depth because this is not the first time it's happened out there. So it's just keeping the awareness out there and everything appears to be in order.
We have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right. Thank you, Darrell. That concludes the items in my portfolio. Commissioner Christman.
Mr. Chairman, RC1 is more of an acknowledgement of what I think we all know more than an action, but on February 27th of this year, the commission issued a cease and desist order against Earth Harvest Mills. And on June 14th, the commission was appointed trustee, and the date of insolvency was established as April 26th of this year. The annual license issued to Earth Harvest Mills for the license period August 1st of 2012 through July 31st of 2013 expired on July 31st, and the commission today acknowledges the expiration of that license by operation of law on July 31st and the automatic discontinuance of business on August 1st. Just for an update, the deadline for filing a claim in this case was August 20th, and I believe 25 unpaid grain claims were filed.
So, Commissioner, is this a motion that you'd like a second on, or is...
Oh, Mr. Chairman, yeah, I went into the explanation, I guess, without making the motion. I apologize for that. The motion is that I move the commission acknowledge the expiration of public warehouse license number 1155 by operation of law on July 31st, 2013, under North Dakota Century Code Section 60-02-07 and the automatic discontinuance of business on August 1st, 2013 under North Dakota Administrative Code Section 69-07-02-03.
Second.
And you've already heard the explanation.
Fair enough.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Mr. Chairman, there is no RC2 that is moved to Commissioner Fedorchak's portfolio for the day. So RC3, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-13-736, granting the request of United Grain Corporation of Oregon, with corporate offices in Vancouver, Washington, to operate as a facility-based grain buyer at Bucyrus, North Dakota, effective immediately.
Second.
United Grain Corporation of Oregon, as I mentioned, the corporate offices in Washington, filed a license application to operate as a facility-based grain buyer at Bucyrus. Construction of this 110-car shuttle facility with a capacity of 1,048,000 bushels was recently completed. United Grain sees the Bucyrus location as a foothold into the spring wheat market for exporting to the Far East. Statutory compliance has been met, and staff recommends the request be approved. And I will just tell you that RC7 will be for the same grain company for a roving grain buyer license.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC4, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-13-744, canceling roving grain buyer license number 3142 issued to Glanbia Nutritionals Incorporated of Fitchburg, Wisconsin, and ordering that all North Dakota roving grain buyer activities be discontinued effective August 1st of 2013.
Second.
Glanbia Nutritionals notified the commission that they are not purchasing grain in North Dakota, therefore they no longer need the roving grain buyer license, and I recommend the request be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC5, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-13-745, canceling the warehouse license number 994 issued to Colgate Commodities Incorporated at Colgate, North Dakota, and ordering that business at Colgate is discontinued effective immediately.
Second.
Colgate Commodities filed a request to discontinue business with the commission for its grain warehouse at Colgate. The facility has been purchased by Trinidad Benham Corporation, and a facility-based grain buyer license application is pending. That will be RC6. There are no outstanding storage obligations, and Trinidad Benham Corporation purchased the grain inventory in the warehouse.
Here we have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC6, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-13-746, granting the request of Trinidad Binham Corporation of Denver, Colorado, to operate as a facility-based grain buyer at Colgate, North Dakota, effective immediately.
Second.
As I mentioned before, Trinidad Binham Corporation filed the license application to operate as a facility-based grain buyer at Colgate. This facility and the grain inventory were purchased from Colgate Commodities Incorporated, as I mentioned in the previous motion. Statutory compliance has been set. Staff recommends that the license be issued.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, motion is approved.
And RC7, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-13-747, granting the request of United Grain Corporation of Oregon with corporate offices in Vancouver, Washington, to operate as a roving grain buyer in North Dakota, effective immediately.
Second.
A little bit out of order, but this is the same company as RC3 for their facility-based license, and this is their roving grain buyer license. But United Grain Corporation filed this application to operate as a roving grain buyer in North Dakota. They indicated in their license application that during the first year in operation, they expect to purchase 1.5 million bushels of grain and filed a corresponding $275,000 surety bond. All license application requirements have been met.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, motion is approved.
That completes my list.
Thank you, Commissioner. That's somewhat reduced compared to what we've become accustomed to.
We're past that early August time frame, and I think that should almost wrap them up for the year.
Super. All right, Commissioner Fedorchak.
I have four items. First one, I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and order, and issue a certificate of corridor compatibility number 143 and route permit number 156 in MDU Company, a division of MDU Resources, Inc., combined application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and energy transmission facility route permit to authorize construction for a 24-mile, 10-inch diameter natural gas pipeline in Morton County, North Dakota, originating at an interconnection with the northern border pipeline system near St. Anthony, North Dakota, and terminating at the Heskett Electric Generation Station, north of Mandan, North Dakota. Case number PU-11-680.
Second.
This is the next step in the construction of the combined, or the, simple cycle combustion turbine for MDU in Mandan. On February 13th, MDU filed with the Public Service Commission an application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and energy generation transmission facility route permit to construct this 24-mile, 10-inch diameter natural gas pipeline in Morton County. On March 27th, we deemed that application complete and set a hearing date for May 3rd in Mandan. We had that hearing on May 3rd, and went through all the details of the project. This will be a 10-inch diameter steel natural gas pipeline, 24 miles in length, originates down by St. Anthony, North Dakota, where it interconnects with the northern border pipeline and then terminates, goes north and terminates at the Heskett Electric Generation Station. This will supply the natural gas required for the 88-megawatt simple cycle combustion turbine that MDU is constructing in Mandan. That will be, their goal is to have that up and running July of 2014. And the construction on this project is set to begin later this month. I guess that's probably a little bit delayed. The total cost of this project is $18.4 million. In going through the application process, they looked at a one-mile-wide study area and analyze a number of different routing alternatives and factors, settling on this one as the best and most feasible, filed with 35 different federal, state, and local agencies. Got a letter from the State Historic Preservation Office that no historic properties or significant sites will be affected. There are no exclusion areas within the 400-foot wide survey area. No historic properties were affected, as I mentioned. MDU has agreed that the design, construction, operation of this will be in accordance with the U.S. DOT regulations governing the safe transportation of natural gas. They have an emergency response program in place for compliance with all the PHMSA Pipeline Hazardous Materials Safety Administration standards. And they have also planned to put a facility constructed around the interconnection with the Northern Border Pipeline, where they'll have a pump that will be fully enclosed and will not exceed 55 decibels outside the regulator station for noise issues in the related area. So that kind of summarizes the project. This is the next step in us getting a new gas-fired electric facility next to the coal fire plant in Mandan, and I move that we provide them this permit.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I just add just two thoughts. One is, I think this initial application was for a smaller diameter pipeline, and over the period of time, the company actually sized up the pipeline, so I think that was a good maneuver because it gives potentially more opportunity in that area for other type of generation, which we know that MDU may need in the future. And the second thing is the initial hearings on the 88-megawatt plant, we talked a lot about the response plan, emergency response plan, and I had some comfort about that, but it was always interesting to see how the response plan would be for this pipeline, because this pipeline weaves through neighborhoods and it's a real tight corridor, but the company did a good job coordinating with the local agencies developing the response plan. They filed it with DOT, and I think everything looks to be in order, but that's one thing that I think we're always concerned about in the commission, that we have good response plans, not just that are on paper, but they actually have the capability to execute something should they have to do so. So I think everything in this case turned out to be very good.
Yeah, the company did a lot of work with the potential neighbors involved and got signatures from all of them, and when they needed to, moved it and adjusted it accordingly. So kudos to them for making that extra effort to deal effectively with all the neighbors involved.
And I see we've now put in our orders that they're going to participate in one call, so it gives a little more flexibility, if you will.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
I move the commission deem the applications complete and issue a notice of filings and notice of hearings in the application of Highland Operating LLC for a waiver of procedures and time schedules, a corridor certificate, and a route permit for an existing 6.5-mile, 6-inch natural gas pipeline in Divide and Burke Counties, North Dakota, case number PU-12-190.
Second.
In January, Highland filed an application for this corridor compatibility route permit for this 6.5-mile, 6-inch natural gas pipeline that was already constructed. And so we are going to go back now, setting up this notice of a public hearing October 8th, 10 a.m. in Tioga City Hall to walk through the process, see if everything was done in accordance with how it should have been. They built this pipeline in 2008 and 2009 and did not go through the state siting process. And so now we're going back to make sure that the land is appropriately reclaimed and that there aren't any cataloging the exclusion and avoidance areas, and then ultimately, if all is well, granting them a corridor for this a quarter and a permit for this pipeline. So that's what this project is all about.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing and assess a $5,000 filing fee in the joint application of Basin Transload LLC and Tesoro High Plains Pipeline LLC to transfer certificate of corridor compatibility number 141 and route permit number 154 to Tesoro case number PU-13-734.
Second.
On January of 16th of 2013, the commission issued certificate of corridor compatibility number 141 and route permit number 154 to Basin Transload for construction of a 7-mile, 10-inch diameter pipeline beginning at Tesoro High Plains in Section 34 and extending generally westward to the storage facilities in Section 3, Township 162 North, Range 93 West, near Columbus. The entire pipeline is located in Burke County. On August 9th, Basin Transload and Tesoro submitted a joint application for a transfer of certificate of corridor compatibility number 141 and route permit number 154 to Tesoro. The issues to be considered are whether Tesoro agrees and is able to comply with the terms and condition of the certificate and route permit. Anybody who has comments should or request for hearing should submit them to us by September 24th.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And my last item, I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing and assess a filing fee of $5,000 in the joint application of Hess Corporation and Hess Tioga Gas Plant to transfer certificate of site compatibility for energy conversion facility certificate number 18 to Hess Tioga Gas Plant LLC.
Second.
On September of 2010, the commission issued certificate of site compatibility for energy conversion facility certificate number 18 to Hess Corporation for the existing Tioga gas plant and for the proposed addition to the plant in Williams County. On August 2nd of 2013, Hess and Hess Tioga gas plant submitted an application to transfer this certificate to Hess Tioga. Again, the issues to be considered are whether Hess Tioga agrees and is able to comply with the terms and conditions of this certificate. Anyone interested in commenting on this should submit those comments to us by September 12th.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Just a thought, not for these disorder and the previous one, but we might have to look at is, you know, we're doing a request for hearings. We've had a $5,000 filing fee. If we actually had to do hearings, which we may have to, that $5,000 probably wouldn't be adequate. So maybe in the future we should look at that filing fee, or we could deal with, we have a hearing, we could go back and amend the motion. For now, I think these are fine, but that's just something maybe in the future that we bump that filing fee up to include a hearing, and then we could refund it if we don't need it. But that way we're not adding paperwork on the
Someone has entered the conference.
Zachary,
but I'm fine with this the way it is.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Drew. Anything else for us, Commissioner?
No, sorry. Good? That's the end of my
Fair enough.
List.
Okay, well, that concludes our regular scheduled meeting. I just have a couple announcements before I open up for questions. We do not have our hearing this afternoon, so quite honestly, that'll free up some time I think that all commissioners will welcome, as next week we've got the formal hearing for the rate case with NSP that is scheduled to go Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Alana, have we had the meeting of all the minds yet?
This afternoon.
So I look forward to that meeting, but I know that in reading through the pre-files that I would anticipate at least 2 days, potentially going into three. This thing is now my sixth rate case since I've been here, and this is going into it. Potentially one of the most challenging ones we'll deal with. So I look forward to that. Now, the only comments that I would have before questions, commissioners.
I have no other comments.
All right. With that, we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Why did you mention that this is going to be one of the most challenging ones we'll deal with?
In reading the pre-filed testimony, looking at what the company says, looking at what the advocacy staff says, looking at some of the issues, it just sets up to be one that there's not a lot of common ground going into it, where in previous cases you read through them and there's always some percentage of I would call it disagreement between advocacy staff and the companies. But in this case, there's quite a wide margin as we get into that.
Could you get an example of that?
I would be happy to, after the hearing, to go through the areas that are different. I mean, I guess I could do that. I mean, without drawing any conclusions, I'll make sure I caveat it that way. Return on equity is one that jumps right out. There's a difference in what the advocacy staff is recommending for return on equity to what the company wants. That perhaps is the most stark example of what the difference would be. And return on equity is a big thing for everyone.
Isn't return on equity a fairly common point of disagreement, though?
I think there's always disagreement on it, but the margin right now is significant.
What is the margin?
I believe the recommended for advocacy staff was around 9, and the company, I think was above 10.2. Look at that, but they're definitely 1 percentage point different.
And that's significant?
I believe it's more than we're used to seeing.
What is the Common Ground Alliance?
The Common Ground Alliance is a group of excavators in North Dakota that get together. I believe it's monthly, Clint, they get together? Monthly they get together at different siting or different areas around the state. They invite in guest speakers. Chad from North Dakota One Call usually MCs the meetings. They talk about issues. They figure out what legislation they might want to change going forward. That was the group that really spearheaded some of the changes in the One Call law that we'd talked about as a commission. But they really do a good job of keeping the awareness, and they also do training throughout the region.
I guess how long are they a long-standing organization? Because you mentioned them a couple of times, where they were mentioned a couple of times during the agenda, and I frankly never heard of them. And
you know, I guess, see, I don't know exactly how long they've been in existence. I've been tracking them for the last 3 years. I suspect that different variations of the group have been together for a long time, but it was Chad Olson, the head of North Dakota One Call, has really done an extraordinary job of getting together different types of groups. So I can't say exactly when off the top of my head, Dale, but they're a really good group to get in front of, and they've got some good ideas.
I just wanted to check a few times. On BK2, it's September 13th at 9 a.m. at the Oliver County Courthouse. Is that right?
That is correct. September 13th, 9 a.m. Central Time, Oliver County Courthouse.
Okay. And, never mind. I was interested in the, when these folks came in and said, we're not buying grain in North Dakota anymore, is it a matter of course to ask them why not?
Not that I'm aware of, no. They just choose to discontinue business here. We just don't relicense them.
Because I was wondering if it would be an opportunity to maybe collect data on why they're not buying. You know, is North Dakota grain not good enough for them, or what's the, what's the problem?
No, we don't do that, as far as I know.
Okay. Should you?
I don't know that it's really our role as the licensor to be doing that. It might be something that ag groups might want to look at if they feel that there's a need for that data. They can certainly look at our list of people who do choose to discontinue doing business here and follow up and find out why. But I don't really think that it's the commission's role to figure that out.
Speaking of things that it's not the commission's role to figure out, why is the United Grain Corporation of Oregon based in the state of Washington?
Well, you hit it on the head at the beginning of your question. I don't know the answer to that.
I was just going to say, speaking about grain, the RC1, Earth Harvest Mills, did you say there are 25 outstanding?
25 claims?
I believe so, yes.
Filed.
Yeah,
claims filed.
Do you know how much money that is?
I don't. I have not totaled them up. That filing deadline just hit, so no, we haven't calculated them up. I don't know how many of those are legitimate or not either. That's just how many filed.
Right.
The Tioga hearing, can you tell me what time that is again, please?
Let's see here. That's at 10 a.m.
Okay.
October 8th.
October 8th, 10 a.m., and what's the location, please?
Tioga City Hall.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What sort of inquiries, if any, have you gotten regarding the oil train derailment in Quebec?
I'll take a first stab at that one. I mean, I had phone calls right away from some local media asking if we had any jurisdiction on that, and I kind of walked them through the process. Some groups have talked to me about it, and I guess basically what I've talked to them is that in the North Dakota Commission, what we really try to do is make sure we have good response plans for the pipelines, make sure that it's appropriate, work with the counties on having the local plans. I actually talked to Dan Zink, the owner of Red River Valley and Western Railroad, some of the things that they're doing just as an offshoot. And I think there's going to be some discussion with some of the railroads and the county emergency managers so they can perhaps plan for some of those things happening in North Dakota. We had, unfortunately, a few years ago, that anhydrous incident up in the Minot area that really reminded people of some of the challenges with railroads going through communities. So I think what it has done is an awareness back to the railroad industry as well as the county emergency responders. But as far as the commission, I think it's just one of those things that we're aware of. It even makes it more important that we have companies have good response plans for their pipelines, because some of the capability that's used to respond for a pipeline could be used to respond for a train incident.
I guess what I was curious about was, have you had any inquiries from like the federal or Canadian regulators about the circumstances under which the train was loaded or anything that you might be aware of that would be relevant to their investigation?
I have not, but I don't know about my colleagues.
Nope.
I have not either.
The on JF2, if I understood you correctly, this is a pipeline that's in the ground, and you're
correct.
Going to give it consider giving it a siting application. Is there any penalty for building a pipeline without permission?
There actually is. Yeah, they could be subjected to could be considered a Class A misdemeanor, and a penalty could be waged on them up to $200,000 for any serious violations. They have to show that they knowingly constructed the facility without the permit. And in this case, they said they didn't realize they needed one.
I was going to say that's what I remember, is that the company has been claiming that they didn't think they needed a permit.
Correct. Yeah.
Why did they think they didn't need a permit?
We'll find out at the hearing in a couple of weeks. I could tell you what I've heard, but I haven't heard it straight from the attorneys and the company, so I'd be reluctant to venture a guess now.
The $200,000 you mentioned, is that a civil fine that the commission would impose?
Correct.
Okay. And you mentioned also that it is a criminal offense?
It is there could be a Class A misdemeanor. We would not be involved in that, but they could be charged with that as well.
Okay, but obviously they knowingly built the pipeline. They just are saying that they didn't think that they needed a permit to do that.
Correct. Yeah, they thought it was a gathering line under the definition, and it's which does not require a permit, and it's clearly a transmission line. So,
and the purpose of the could you reiterate what the purpose of the hearing is?
Well, the purpose of the hearing is to go through all of the siting process really deals with cultural and environmental issues. And so we want to, even though this pipeline is already in place, they have gone out and inspected it. They've done a post-construction inspection to show what how is the land in this area now. And so we can go in after the fact and say, make sure that everything was done correctly and keep the company on the hook for any reclamation that still needs to be done to put the land and its all the areas affected by the construction back in proper order.
And when was this built again, please?
2008 and 2009.
And so you'll be checking to see whether ground disturbances,
correct,
5 years ago were
trees,
okay,
shrubs.
Yeah.
You can see a fair amount with they went out and walked the whole length of the line and they did surveys and all of those. There's a pretty extensive application with all of the environmental and cultural surveys included. And so we can examine all of those and make sure that anything that was damaged that we could fix now, we'll go back and do that.
If I could, Dale, just to add on to that, is that the emergency response plan will come into play right away, looking at what emergency response plan they may have had in place or not in place when the line was not potentially jurisdictional to us. In previous cases where we've had transmission lines or gathering lines become transmission lines that were in the ground a lot longer, we asked the company to run their pigs through it to make sure the depth of the pipeline was still down below what it needed to be, because over time they push up. So it'll be all those things Commissioner Fedorchak said, but the response plans and make sure the county has the right things in place will all come into play. So I'm glad they brought it forward now for us to have the awareness and get a chance to go through it.
I mean, I guess that how did this issue come up? I mean, if the pipeline's in the ground, how did this arise?
I believe the company just realized it in the process of submitting their 10-year plan and noticed that this pipeline fell under the criteria that should have been cited, and they sent us a letter saying this should be cited, and we didn't realize that, so we'd like to do that now.
So it's self-reported, basically.
Correct.
Okay. S.J. Lewis Construction, do we have any idea why they decided that they did wrong?
I could only speculate, other than the hearing was coming forth, and they made a decision that they would sign the consent order. I really wouldn't go much further than that, Dale, I guess. I can't. It would just be pure speculation.
Just to refresh our memory, where was this instance?
The Watford City area. Let me double check.
If I understood you correctly, you said the cable TV service was cut?
It was.
I mean, doesn't this merit a huge fine?
In some people's eyes, $1,000 is a huge fine, but we try to be consistent in our finding, if you will.
I was just wondering if this was noticed more quickly than something else might have been.
Oh, I suspect it probably was. But there was a $10,000 of damages that the company ended up paying to RTC, so there's a commission's fine of $1,000. They paid $10,000 in damages to the company. So there was a significant price tag to S.J. Lewis when this thing was all said and done. I think, you know, once again, we had offered a consent decree, if you will, of a $1,000 fine. If, speaking just for myself, if we'd gone through a hearing and made a decision, that $1,000, what it could have been, would have had no bearing on what the potential fine may have been after a full-blown hearing with the new $25,000 penalties coming into place. So I would suspect some of that might have come into their thought process. Yeah, Watford City area. Highway 85 and 11th Avenue, Watford City.
So right in town there. Okay.
Yeah. So cable TV customers were deprived of Storage Wars.
One of your favorite shows, I'm told.
Or extreme couponing.
All right. With that, any further questions, gentlemen? Or anyone else for that matter? Okay. We'll go ahead and 5 minutes enough, commissioners? We'll close the regular scheduled meeting and open our administrative meeting at 10:45. Thank you.